Our Bible reading this morning is from Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 25. That's Romans 7, verse 14 to 25. If you have a church Bible, it's on page 1121. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin.
Well, good morning, church. And should I say, happy Australia Day as well. There you go, 26th of January. I hope you've been having a wonderful time this weekend, whatever it is you've been up to with friends and family. As mentioned, my name's Josh. I'm one of the pastors here at this church. If you haven't seen me before, or maybe you haven't seen me in a little while, that's because I've been working at another church for most of last year. I had some extended leave as well, but I'm back now. It's good to be back amongst family, amongst familiar faces. And if I haven't chatted to you before, if you're new in the last year, I'd love to have a chat with you after the service at some point. Well, let's get into it so we think a little bit more about authentic Christianity. Did you know that 86% of consumers claim that authenticity is a vital factor when deciding which brands that they like and support? That was a stat that I found as I was preparing this talk. Yes, authenticity is on the rise in society today. It's something everyone wants. We want it, our food to come from authentic sources rather than just coming from mass producing conglomerates. We want our news to be told authentically rather than just be following a narrative. And we want our movies to be about authentic stories rather than just soulless cash grabs. Yes, authenticity is in. And in a culture that highly values authenticity, about the worst thing that you can do is to say you're authentic when really you're not. To pretend to be authentic while acting contrary to that behind the scenes, that's something we used to call hypocrisy. And sadly, it's something that Christians are not immune to. In fact, we have many significant examples of this. Perhaps the most well-known in recent times is the story of the man named Ravi Zacharias. For those who don't know, Ravi was a popular Christian apologist and speaker. And for many years, he led a organization, an apologetics organization named Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. And shortly after his death in 2020, multiple allegations of sexual misconduct against him came to light. These allegations were subsequently investigated and found to be true. He'd committed terrible, immoral acts, all while publicly speaking and teaching and defending Christianity. Now, that's a particularly shocking example, but it illustrates an important point. It's vital, if we want to call ourselves authentic Christians, that we strive for authenticity rather than inauthenticity. And so the question then this morning is, well, how do we do that? How can I be an authentic Christian? Now, today we're going to be thinking about this, particularly in the realm of the fight against sin. We've looked at a couple of different ways over the last few weeks about how to be an authentic Christian, but today our focus is how do I be authentic when I'm thinking about fighting against sin? What steps do I need to take to be authentic in this area? Well, we've got three of them. And the first is recognition. Now, to be an authentic Christian firstly means recognizing my sinfulness. Now, if you've been a Christian for a long time, I suspect that's many of you here this morning. Now, you're familiar with this idea, no doubt. You know this. But as we look at what God has to say in his word, well, it's vital we recognize just how deep the rot actually goes. And I say that because we have a bit of a downplaying dilemma, both as a society and as individuals. By that I mean we tend to downplay our own immoral behavior. We might say, I was driving a little fast, but there was no one else on the road. I'm not hurting anyone. We might excuse a hurtful remark by saying, look, it was just a joke. They're being too sensitive. Now, the worst form of downplaying is through comparison, such as saying, well, yes, I've looked at inappropriate content online a handful of times, but at least I'm not cheating on my spouse like my neighbor down the road. A comparison is, I think, the number one way we tend to try and downplay our own sin. As if we think that when our lives end and we stand before God, he's going to rank all of us according to our specific level of morality. And as long as you're kind of this high, as long as you make this mark, you'll be good. You'll make it through. But that's not how it works, is it? Now, God doesn't let us into heaven if we get more than 50% on a morality test. No, and let's be honest, we'd all fail that test probably anyway. And this is what Paul's getting at in an earlier part of the letter to the Romans from chapter 3. If you've got a Bible there, why don't you actually turn with me, chapter 3 of Romans. We'll have a quick look at this before popping back to chapter 7. Now, in the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul, this is kind of his magnum opus. He's laying out the gospel in all its glory and all its wonderful detail. And by chapter 3, he's made the point that as Christians, we must rightly recognize what we humans are like by nature. He says first in verse 10 to 12 of chapter 3, he says, every single person is sinful. Every single person is unrighteous. All of us have turned away from God. But are we just kind of regular, run-of-the-mill sinners? Or is it worse than that? Well, look at how Paul describes it from verse 13. He says, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Really, Paul? That's what you think of me? But here's what's wild. It's actually even worse than that. Now, have a look at that last line, right? Verse 14. If you've got your Bible there, you look at the last line, there should be a little footnote marker at the end of that verse. And that should take you to a footnote at the bottom of the page, telling you that Paul here is quoting or alluding to a passage from the Psalms, from Psalm chapter 10, in fact. And when we go back to Psalm 10, I think it's going to pop up on the screen, or if not, I'll read it to you. Now, this is a psalm where the author of Psalm 10, he's crying out to God because he's a victim under attack. He sees all the wickedness going on around him, and he's crying out to God about it. And he, right as he goes about describing all this rampant wickedness, well, there we get to verse 7, And we see the line that Paul uses in Romans 3:14. So what's Paul doing here? Well, it reminds me a little of a skit that I saw on a UK skit show a number of years ago now. You've got two men acting out a scene where they're playing soldiers of the Third Reich, right? Nazi soldiers. And as they kind of chatting together, one of them begins to express a bit of concern about the styling of their uniforms. He says, they've got skulls on them. Isn't that weird? And then as they talk further, the true nature of the situation dawns on him and he turns to his companion and he says, are we the baddies? Now, as you watch the skit, obviously that's a funny moment because yes, we know the Nazis are the bad guys. But what's incredibly striking about this passage, the way Paul uses that Old Testament reference, and what knocked me flat when I first understood this, is that this is the same sort of thing that Paul's doing as he writes in Romans 3 about the depths of human sinfulness. He's saying, we're the bad guys. I'm not the good guy who's being attacked by the bad guys out there. I'm not the good guy who's just had a bad day or who's not as bad as my neighbor down the road. No, he's saying by nature, as human beings, I'm the baddie. You're the baddie. We are the baddies. And the key question is, have I recognized that about myself? Do I see the depths of my own sin? As you sit here this morning, is that what you consider yourself to be? Sinful through and through. Well, that recognition is vital if we wish to be authentic Christians. Otherwise, we'll continue to go about downplaying our sin, blame shifting, self-justifying, and denying our own sinfulness. You'll see yourself only as a victim whose sins are nothing compared to that person down the road. And so let me also say, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, first of all, it's great that you're here with us. If you see someone claiming to be Christian, but also making it seem like they're not really fazed by their sin, they've got it all under control, they don't have any real issues, and that the sin lies with everyone else, but not them. Well, actually, that's inauthentic Christianity. That's not how Christianity is meant to be. No, authentic Christianity recognizes that the fight against sin is necessary because we are all sinful through and through. And that's the first step, recognition. The second step is, well, what do we do about this? If that's true, if I'm sinful to my core, what can I do about it? And we have to get that straight. Now, as image bearers of God, we have agency to try and fight our inherent sinfulness with God's help. And that's where the second step of repentance comes in. Another familiar subject, no doubt, if you've been a Christian for a while. Now, repentance is effectively a change of behavior where a person stops committing a sin and turns from that to be obedient. So as an example, repentance from theft isn't just no longer stealing, but it's going instead and becoming generous, right? From sinning to obedience. And repentance, well, that's another crucial step if you want to be an authentic Christian. Why? Well, firstly, because Jesus himself told us to do it. In the first recorded words of Jesus from the earliest gospel, that's the Gospel of Mark, Jesus declares in Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. Now that means the fight against sin for the authentic Christian includes behavioral change. Just like increasing your fitness includes working out. The Apostle Paul states the same thing, in fact, in chapter 6 of his letter to the Romans. Chapter 6, verse 13, he writes this, "Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present your members to God as instruments for righteousness." He's saying, make the active choice to turn from your sin and to live your life instead in obedience to God. Now, repentance, like so many things in life, is a really difficult thing. It's hard. It takes effort. It's a constant fight, one that you go kind of up and down in. But like most difficult things in life, we do them because it's worth it. The exercise enthusiast who tells everyone about their need to shape up for summer and how much they're looking forward to it, but then spends all their time sitting on the couch, well, their enthusiasm could hardly be called authentic. It's the same with Christianity. If I say I'm an authentic Christian, if I want to be an authentic Christian, I've recognized my sin, but I don't actually try and do anything about it, about changing my behavior, well, then the Christianity I have is as worthless as an unused gym membership. But the effort of fighting sin through repentance really is worth it. And again, we can go back to Paul in another part of Romans to see this in a latter part, chapter 8. In fact, he goes so far as to say that life is found in turning from your sin. Let me read you the passage. It's Romans 8, verse 13, the second half of it. He says, "If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Now, what sort of life is he talking about? Well, he's not talking about eternal life there. Rather, the life that comes when you fight against your sin through earnest repentance is the life where you're able to flourish as a Christian. Now, that's not material, a promise of material blessing, but of spiritual blessing, where you get to enjoy a life with God here and now, unmarred by so many constant consequences from your own sin. Now, no life will be perfect before Jesus returns, but Paul's point here is relatively straightforward. If you're committed to repentance, if you want to be authentic as a Christian, you're committed to turning from your sin as Jesus has called us to be, well, that's going to mean you'll be much better off than if you do the opposite and wallow in your sin. But as we move on from there to kind of our final step or our next step in the fight against sin, I think there's an important question that needs to be asked based on what we've just talked about. And it's this. What do you do if you feel like you're failing at this? What do you do if it seems like no matter what you do, you seem stuck in your sin? That you keep doing the same things wrong over and over and over again. Maybe you're constantly biting back at others. Maybe you're tweaking the truth whenever it suits. Maybe you're lazily leering at members of the opposite sex. What do you do? Well, this is where I want to go to the passage that was read for us. Before I got up, so off to Romans 7. So again, if you've got your Bible there, let's go back to Romans 7. Because as amazing as it might seem, the Apostle Paul, the man specifically called by Jesus to go and preach the gospel to the nations, well, he knew that same failing feeling. He knew what it was like to seek repentance but not be able to do it or to struggle with it. He knew what it was like to want to fight his sin, but instead to become friends with it. And here's how he describes it in chapter 7, verse 19. It should be up on the screen if you don't have a Bible there with you. He says, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Now, if that's how you're feeling this morning about your fight against sin, you're in good company. This was a huge revelation for me personally when I first understood this passage. I'd been struggling with repeated sin as a younger man, and I'd gotten to the point of saying, I'm doomed. There's no way God's going to forgive me this time. I've broken his commandment again for the nth time. I'm toast. Well, if you've ever felt that same despair as a Christian, let me reassure you, there is hope. There is an answer to this question of what do I do? And it's found in our third step, which I'm going to call response. And see, what matters for us if we want to be an authentic Christian, what matters is the way we respond to our inherent sinfulness. And there are two options. I can respond by fighting my sin, or I can respond by giving in. Now, Paul, for all his struggles with sin, gave a clear answer to this question. In verse 16 of chapter 7, he says, now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. He's saying he wants to do what's right by the law, even if he doesn't always do it. In verse 18, he states, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Again, he wants to do what is right. In verse 22, we read, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. He wants to do what is right by God. And so if repentance is a change in behavior, well, then what we're talking about here in this step of response is what comes before that change of behavior. In other words, in the fight against sin, in the fight to be an authentic Christian, the question that really matters is, what is my desire? What do I want to do when it comes to my sin? Now, you may be here this morning and maybe you're facing incredible challenges, incredible struggles in your fight. Maybe this morning you feel like you are drowning in sin. But the question is, in the midst of that, where is my heart? What do I want to do? Now, let me put it another way to try as we kind of begin to wrap things up. When it comes to your sin, are you a lover or a fighter? Do you love your sin? Do you embrace it with both hands? Are you not concerned for its effect on you? Do you treat it like a session at the day spa where you relax and wallow in it? Or do you hate it? Do you want to fight your sin, even if you're not always doing that? Do you want to do what is right? Do you, like King David in Psalm 51, feel sincere sorrow and regret over your sinful actions? Now, that's what matters. How my heart responds to my sinfulness. And we can know that we're authentic Christians because we want to do what's right, even if we struggle to always do so, to carry it out. Or if you were here last week, Craig put it like this. We can know if we truly love God, if our desire is to keep his commands, even when we might break them over and over and over again. So, the path to authentic Christianity when it comes to the fight against your sin is recognition, repentance, and response. But I can't finish this morning without making one final comment. What if you have heard all these steps this morning? You've heard everything that's been said. You've thought about your sin and you've realized, actually, I don't want to fight my sin. I actually want to do what's wrong. Well, what then? Well, the good news is that authentic Christianity is never completely out of reach. Why? Because of Jesus. Indeed, Paul says this very thing at the end of chapter 7. He says in verse 24, he says, wretched man that I am, as he thinks about his own struggle with sin. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He's saying, how do I get out of this awful situation? Where's the light at the end of the tunnel? Well, then he gives the answer in the very next line, verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of Jesus, the most authentic Christian in history, it's possible to be given the desire to fight your sin, even if that's not what you're feeling right now. Jesus will give that response, the recognition and the ability to repent to anyone who calls on his name in faith. So, do you want to be an authentic Christian with regards to your sin? You want to avoid being known as a hypocrite? It starts with trusting in Jesus. That's the way. That's the path to authentic Christianity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we continue to think about how we can be authentic Christians, how we can be genuine in our faith, Father, would you help us to be cognizant of our own sinfulness? Help us not to downplay our sin, but to rightly recognize how unworthy we are before you. At the same time, would you work in our hearts to give us a biblical and godly response to our sin, where we want to go and do the right thing, even if we don't always do it. Father, thank you that this gives us hope, that as we continue to war against our sin, that there is forgiveness, there is grace available thanks to Jesus. So Father, for any this morning who might particularly be feeling the weight of their sin, would you speak to them by your word? Would you remind them of the grace that is on offer in Christ, the limitless grace? And would they be encouraged and motivated to respond to that wonderful grace in faith and obedience? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.